Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome. Thank you for joining me this evening. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds on Blog Talk Radio. Today is June the 11th, 2012. We thank each and every one of you for joining me on this evening. I'm so excited about what God is doing in this hour. I am so excited. It occurred to me that my first anniversary is coming up at the end of this month. And I'm excited about that, and I've been asking and pondering what to do for Victory's one-year anniversary. So we are going to celebrate. And I intended to do the celebration on the day of, which would be the 27th of June. However, I have a previous appointment I cannot get out of. So I will ponder, and I will post and get back with you in terms of which day we're going to do it and decide what we're going to do on that last Monday as well. In the meantime, in between time, again, I welcome each and every one of you. We are live right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for coming. The chat room is open. Please feel free to comment, ask questions. As we go forward, for my first-time listeners, Victory Against All Odds, of course, is a talk show where we talk for the family, where we talk about the struggles that families face as it relates to issues of child abuse, depression, domestic violence, substance abuse, suicide, and sexual abuse. And we will also, which will lead us into other discussions as it relates to the residue that may arise from these issues of life. So let's talk. Grab your pen and your paper so you can write down the information that you may need. My email address is odds, O-D as in dog, D-S underscore, against, A-G-A-I-N-S-T underscore, the letter U at yahoo.com. Again, that's odds underscore against underscore the letter U at yahoo.com. You may email me in the subject line. Please simply put VAAO so that I will not delete the email and know that it's not spam or some junk mail. And that will help out greatly if you need assistance, if you have a question. If you don't understand something, please email me. I will do my best to find you an answer. I'd like to welcome TLO Ministries in the chat room and those that are in the studio. Thank you. Welcome for joining me this evening. Even though it's raining outside, it certainly is sunshine on the inside, and we thank God for that. In addition to emailing me, you may also, if you so desire, to send me a confidential voicemail, because the subject matters that we do discuss on the air is quite confidential at times, and you may have a situation or a circumstance that you may need questions or prayer. We are certainly not afraid to pray. And the number is 641-715-3900. Again, that's 641-715-3900. Access code is 343-658-POUND. And you may leave a extensive confidential voicemail, and I will proceed accordingly. And lastly, you may visit my website at www.oddsagainstyou.webs.com. Again, that's www.oddsagainstyou.webs.com. If you want to write a letter or send your love offering, whatever you would desire, you may simply do so at P.O. Box 26531. Again, that's 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27611. I thank each and every one of you again this evening as we move forward. And last week, if you joined us, we talked about suicide and we talked about the crisis of suicide in America. It is one of those silent crises that people don't like to talk about. But if we back up a little bit, we talked about on Memorial Day, we celebrated veterans all over the world, and we talked about domestic violence. Well, there's another component to that, which led me to talk about suicide. And on last week, we did define suicide as the act of intentionally causing one's own death. Interesting enough, and I love it when things flow in the Lord's timing, and I'm not afraid to say that. An article came in the paper on Friday, which was June the 8th, and it was our local paper. It's called the News and Observer, and it on the national, the nation, and the world page, which comes from the Associated Press out of Washington, D.C., was an article. Now, if you haven't listened to last week's broadcast, I encourage you to do so so that you can put the whole picture together, if you will allow me to say that. We talked about suicide in part as we build upon this brick, as we build upon the house. We talked about the military, and we put the other piece to it. As we talked about domestic violence, we talked about the homicide, but how many of you know that a lot of times you talk about the homicide, but how many of you know that a lot of times that is followed right behind the military, that person taking their own life, which would be the suicide. So I wanted to kind of just go back and talk about the statistics, because this was just very, very timely. And the article title is Military Data Shows a Surge in Suicide Among U.S. Troops. This is how you just know that you must hear from the Lord and that his timing is so perfect. In this article coming out of Washington, D.C., it says, suicides are surging among the American troops, averaging nearly one a day this year. It is the fastest pace in the nation's decade of war. 154 suicides for active duty troops in the first 155 days of the year far outdistanced the U.S. forces killed in action in Afghanistan. That is a large statistic. The article goes on to say that the number reflects a military burden with a wartime demand from Iraq and Afghanistan that has taken a greater toll than foreseen a decade ago. So let me just go on. The military also is struggling with increased sexual assault, alcohol abuse, domestic violence, and other misbehaviors. And we know we've talked about that extensively, how one is compounded on top of another. But our job is to get to the root of the problem and pull those roots up. But sometimes in order to do that, we've got to peel the onion. We've got to peel the layers away so we can get to the root. How about that? Okay. Because suicide has leveled off in 2010 and 2011, this year's upswing has caught some of the officials by surprise. And it goes on to say that the reason for the increase are not fully understood, but among explanations studied, they've pointed to combat exposure, post-traumatic stress disorder, which we haven't really talked about, but we will get there. misuse of prescription medications, and personal financial problems. They said the Army data suggests that soldiers with multiple combat tours are at greater risk of committing suicide, although a substantial proportion of Army suicides are committed by soldiers who never deployed. And I'm not going to read the entire article. I do want to read this part. It says the 2012 active duty suicide totals of 154 through June 3rd compares to 130 in the same period last year, an 18% increase. And it's more than the roughly 136 suicides the Pentagon projected for this period based on the trend from 2001 all the way through 2011. It says that this year's January through May totals is up 25% from 2 years ago, and that it is 16% ahead of the pace for 2009, which ended with the highest yearly totals thus far. That is why we are talking about suicide, a crisis in America. And it's funny that the Lord gave me that title, and this, of course, was just done June the 8th. I was not even aware of that. But we're going to move forward. I just wanted to give you that so that we know what we are dealing with. And we spoke extensively on last week about the definition of suicide. I even gave you the history, even through time, if we go back to the scriptures, we know, and I read this last week, and you can follow up, but in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, suicide was mentioned even in the scriptures. Abimelech, which is in Judges 9 and 54, was one of those ones who committed suicide, as well as Samson. And I read you 2 Samuel 17 and 23. I hope you have your pen and pencil so you can go and read. Let's see. His name is, help me, Holy Ghost. Ahithophel, he committed suicide as well. And, of course, we went on to talk about Saul. He committed suicide because he was disobedient. And his disobedience caused him to lose his position in the kingdom. And not only did he commit suicide, his armor bearers committed suicide as well in 1 Chronicles 10 and 5. So suicide has occurred throughout time. This is nothing that is new. So this evening, like I said, we're just building on what we talked about last week, and I just encourage you to really go back and listen to the first half of this. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time going over that again, but I just want to say that we talked about the myths of suicide. And so tonight I wanted to really kind of get into the last portion of the first part, which was, how suicide is communicated. And this is very important because for those of us that are in ministry, those of us that are in profession, in the professional work field, or even you just never know when you may run up upon a person who is down, who is depressed, and who is contemplating. That's why I always say that when throughout our day we need to smile. You just never know when that smile may have changed someone else's mindset. So let's talk about being aware and what that verbal and that nonverbal communication may sound like or look like. And so for the first one, it's obvious. The first one is just very obvious. That is, which is when we attempt suicide, or that person that would attempt suicide. We know that this is the most clear and the most dramatic cry for help. This is one who attempts suicide and they need immediate help, and they need support. So when someone has just verbally just decided or have spoken these words out of their mouth, or there are other clues, and we're going to talk about them as well, really just attempt to commit suicide, we know that we need to stop what we're doing, nothing else matters, and we need to get that person help immediately, very quickly. The second one is the threat of suicide. That's any kind of threat that should be taken. We know that if someone threatens suicide, it is not to be taken lightly. The majority of those who talk about suicide, they do attempt suicide. Then we have the hint of suicide. The hint of suicide is those people who consider killing themselves. They are unclear in communicating that what their intent is, so there's that question mark over their head. They may be, you know, kind of ambiguous in their statement or in their thinking. They may make statements such as, "You would rather be off without me. Life has lost all meaning for me." These are hints, and what I am giving you this evening are tools. Practical tools to help you help someone else. They may say something like, "It's just that I hate to face each day. You know, they're literally making statements that would get your attention. This is what I'm saying. So we as believers, we may ask, you know, does a person who commits suicide lose their salvation, or what does God really think about a person taking their life? That is a topic all of its own. And I don't even want to go there, because the point here is what we need to do, believers or not, what we need to do to save a life. So that's where we're going to focus at. That is for a different time. The fourth one is those activities that we hear, that we see when we're watching television, that a person who has suicidal tendencies may do. Their activities make sure that all the bills are paid. They make sure that they make out a will, or that they're making arrangements as though the person they were going on a long trip. That may leave clues that they're considering suicide. So we don't need to analyze their every move, but we definitely need to pay attention and make sure that they're not hiding behind a bush, and so pay attention to things that would be a little bit abnormal. The next one would be symptoms of suicide. And so I can hear you now. You're saying, well, what does that look like? A long, serious illness that would bring on a person to the point of despair, especially if, you know, they don't see any hope of regaining, recovering. A person who is terminal ill, such as cancer, something just very devastating, and you know, sometimes a terminal illness in particular will bring about a depression. So we just need to be mindful of what they're saying and their activities, as we talked about before. Any sudden changes in their personality, such as being upset, moody, anxious, and agitated. If they start drinking, agitated, depression, those are like serious signs that the person may attempt to take their life. The depressed person may become withdrawn, you know, don't want to be bothered, don't want to talk. They stay inside for long periods of time. They keep to themselves. They shut off all contact from their friends, their family. These are just some of the other things. Their physical symptoms, such as they lose their appetite. Their sexual drive, their weight may fluctuate. And these are just a few of those symptoms, if you will allow me to say that. And then lastly is, was there another crisis that they just came out of before they turned around and went into another? And what I mean by that is sometimes suicides occur in response to some of the immediate and the specific stress. You know, if life is just being topsy-turvy for them and they're at this heightened stress level, and that could be the death of a loved one, and then that, because of that, you know, maybe right after that they lost their job or they failed school or they couldn't go to school if they were in school or they're having marital problems or their children not acting right or they're going through a divorce or separation or they're feeling rejected or anything of that nature that would cause that person to have a loss of relationship. A lot of times, we don't think about the severity of a strained relationship of any kind, whether it be friend-friend, male-to-male, female-to-female, or vice versa, or a marriage relationship. It can be devastating. The loss of a loved one could be devastating. The loss of a job could be devastating because, you know, as we know, that interferes with the rest of our life, our finances, and, you know, in school and things of that nature. So those are some of the communicated tendencies that we want to be aware of. And I want to give you those tools so that you can be better equipped to handle such a crisis. Now I wanted to get into the next part of the series. At least I want to start. I'm not going to be able to finish it, but that's what building bricks is all about, one brick at a time. So now that we know what that sounds like and what it looks like and we know the definition and we have some history, now we want to go back and establish a relationship. And what do we say? Now that we know what this looks like, the next thing is, okay, well, I heard you, Evangelist, I heard you. Now what? Well, what if you get that phone call? Or what if that person confronts you? Or suppose the Holy Ghost lets you know something's not quite right here. Let me go see what this is all about. And bam, here we are. You weren't expecting this type of conversation. Oh, Lord, what do I do? What do I say? Okay, we can talk about that. I got you. I got you. Calm down. Don't be upset. Don't stress. I got you. Okay. So, all right, so we need to establish a relationship. So whenever we meet someone, just like whether it's a ministry relationship or a friendship relationship or a dating relationship or whatever type of relationship it is, two people coming together, bottom line, the first thing we do, what is the first thing we do? We need to know their name. We need to have some dialogue. We need to establish some trust. You know, we need to have some things flowing there, going each way. Remember some time ago we talked about serve and return. I serve, you return. And the serve and return needs to be mutual. So, you know, if I serve you soft, return me soft. If I serve you hard, you return hard. But things kind of get really out of whack when we serve and there's no return. And when I was speaking of that, of course, I was talking about children and children being our future, but it works in all situations. Okay, let me take a breath here. Where do I want to start? Let's start with the person. The person who is contemplating suicide usually is ambivalent about life and death. They are sending me signals they really could care less one way or the other. The individual wishes to kill themselves or herself, and they're tired of what's going on in life. Well, we kind of figure that, but that person at the same time wants someone to rescue them. They're looking for someone to talk to. They want to be heard, right? So here you are, you find yourself in that situation. What do we do? What do we say? We pick up the phone, and that person, we're in ministry, and that person's on the other end. We are leaders in the body of Christ, in the kingdom, and in the professional work field. I'm talking to everyone. I'm not being one-sided, or at least I'm not trying to. So I'm covering the whole spectrum here. So those that are in the working place, you know, your coworker, your neighbor, you know, they call you and they're not sounding too good on the other end. What do we say? That person calls, you'll say, I'm glad you called, you know. You let them know that there's help for them. You assure that person that they have made the right decision by picking up the phone or by calling you or by you calling them. I mean, maybe the Holy Ghost lets you call them. And so you let them know that they have made the right decision if they picked up the phone or if that they're speaking. That's the most important part, that someone cares about them. They need for you, us, to one, we need to talk calmly. Don't be stressed out. We need to be confident. We need to make sure that we speak with authority but not be an authoritarian. We don't want the person to feel like they're being challenged. So the part that we talk with authority is the confidence. We need them not to feel like you don't know what you're doing or that you're nervous or feeling unsure, because they're already feeling that way. So we don't want to let them know that we're uncomfortable. So we need to make sure that we speak with confidence and authority, but don't be overbearing. So we start at a place where the caller has a problem and they want help, and that you're there to help them, okay? And in our conversation, we need to make sure that we use that word a whole lot, help, H-E-L-P. We need to let that person know that we are interested in what they have to say, and we need to discern their feelings. That is most important. And I'm going to say that again. We need to be able to discern the feelings, and we need to put on our good listening ear. My granddaddy used to say that all the time. Put on your good listening ear, and we need to establish trust. So that we can get that conversation moving and we don't get stuck. So we need to know that person's name, and ultimately we need to know where the person is at that moment. Where are they? We need to know the person's address. But make sure you space that out, because we don't want to bombard them with a whole bunch of information or pulling out of information. So make sure you space it out, because that person on the other end is making a decision even while they're talking to you. They may be reluctant to give that information, so we don't want to pressure them. So that's why I say space it out. And it may flow automatically, you know, they may be willing to give you all of that. But, you know, that's where the discernment of the feelings come in, and we need to be good listeners. So we don't want to pressure them. So we want to ask them something like, can I know your first name? Maybe that's all they're going to give you. And that only reason you want to know that is so that you'll have something to call them by, you know, and that makes that conversation personal. And that lets them know that you are genuine and that you are feeling them. There's that word again, feeling. You want to feel them. And the other thing you may want to somewhere in that conversation, and you'll be led because you're discerning the feelings, and you'll be led, see if you can get a relative or a doctor, a physician, a neighbor, you know, something of that nature. And if we are professional counselors and ministers, you know, a lot of times the caller may say something like, oh, please don't tell anybody. Oh, is this, you know, this is confidential. Can you not tell anyone? There's a fine line there. Because of the nature of the call, we need to let that person know that we're not going to do or say anything that is going to harm them. But there's absolutely no way that we can keep all that confidential if the person is threatening to take their life. Because we're going to have to pick up the phone, and we're going to have to call someone, whether that be authorities, their neighbor, the physician. Somebody needs to be able to get to them. And as long as we can keep them on the phone and they're talking, then 9 times out of 10, not 100%, and I'm not saying 100%, if we're engaging in conversation, then they're engaged in the conversation, then they're not doing anything else. They're engaged in a conversation. So that's a good thing. And the other part of that is, depending on what state you live in, and I'm looking out here, and I've got a couple of states represented here, including my own, you need to know what your state laws are required so that to contact the authorities, and when someone's threatening to kill themselves or herself, and so you need to kind of check that out. What are the state laws as it relates to you contacting the authorities, what those fine lines are. So make sure that you do your homework so that you are comfortable when you are faced with such a situation. The next thing I want to talk about is identifying and obtaining the information, which we've talked about already, but we're going to go a little bit deeper. We're going to the next level. We're going to go under the skin. That was the surface stuff. Now let's go pierce the skin a little bit. When we're talking to this person, we want to give them our full attention, no distractions. So we want them to talk and tell their story because we need to know what got them to this state of mind. Amen. So we want to do this with as few interruptions as possible. So if that means you need to grab paper and pen, you do that. And then we want to do this. We want to encourage the person to tell you. These are the things you're looking to hear. Remember, we are discerning the feelings. Okay, so we want the person to end the story. We want to hear this. Led that person to where they are now. Why are they in this state? What is bothering them right now? Why are they right here right now? What's bothering them? What set them over the edge that moment at that time? And what have they tried before in terms of coping with that particular situation or situations in the past? How did they handle that? And if they've done this before? And if they have done this before, and I'm jumping ahead of myself because I'm on that page, what did they do? If they've attempted the suicide before, what did they do and how did they overcome that? Because here we are again. So that means that they didn't, or either they did and it failed. And we need to know that. We need to know if they've attempted suicide before and it was a failed attempt, that they were able to come to their right mind, was their assistance, what happened. So now we need to, like I said, we need to identify the problem. But now let me plug this in. There is no guaranteed script or guaranteed approach. That's why I said discern the feeling, because it's just you and that person. And what works for you and that person may not be the same approach with him and that person over here. But you still kind of need the same information. You just may not necessarily do it in the same order. So in terms of the approach, you be the discerner of the approach. But you still need to make sure that you're discerning the feeling. You're allowing them to get that story out, that they have your perfect attention. And so Your goal is to obtain the information so that you I can identify what the problem is. Then we definitely want to avoid the why questions. We do not ask why. That only provokes that person. So instead of asking the why question, we're seeking information. So the questions need to be informational, not why. So if you have to do like I do sometimes and put a great big on top of your page, because remember you got paper and pencil, because they're doing the talking and you're doing the listening, then you may need to physically, if you're visual like I am, I put "do not say why," and I highlight it across the top of the paper so that you think before you speak. So, remember, we're trying to seek information. So your questions will sound a little bit like this. What has happened in your life to bring you to this point? Okay. What's been going on in your life for the past 3 months? So this is how you get the story out. What is going on in their head? How did they get there? What would need to be different for you to go on with your life? You know, what needs to happen so that they come off of this page? What would you need to help you? You know, what is it that they need help with? What can we do? Or how do we get the help? But we need to know whatever that thing is, and then we need to figure out how to get that help to that person. What is it you would like help with at this time, at that present moment? Because remember, either that person is either sitting in front of you or that person is on the phone. So we're trying to get into their head, and we're trying to feel their feelings and discern at the same time. And, you know, so another one would be, what would you like me to know about you? Get them to talking so you can get a big picture of how we got here and what has been going on, what drove them to this point. What would you like me to understand about you? So remember, these are what questions, and you're getting that person to do the talking, and you're discerning the feelings. So keep in mind those questions. Now, here's the other thing, that while you're doing that, this person probably is falling in one of these three categories, or all three, or two. So keep in mind the three H's of a suicidal person. I'm giving you tools. So these are three important words that highly describe your typical suicidal person, and those three H's are this. One is hopelessness. Hopelessness. The only people who kill themselves are those who have lost all hope. So whenever you work with a suicidal person, do whatever you can to build in them a strong compartment of hope as much as possible. Do I need to say that again? Whenever you work with a suicidal person, do whatever you can to build in them a strong component of hope. Number two is helplessness. Helplessness, a commitment of hopelessness is often helplessness. So that's a component of hopelessness is helplessness. So those two are built on top of each other. So usually, in other words, a hopeless person is usually a person who feels helpless. So that is how they feel like the only thing that they can do is kill themselves, because they have no hope and they are helpless. Nothing works. Nothing has worked. No one cares. This is the mindset of a person who is on that page. I've been there. And the last one is haplessness. restlessness. Many suicidal people have had incredible sad lives. I had to breathe on that one. And really, we can kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Take that one be discerning. And what that really is really saying is that person has had a series of events that were negative that resulted in them not getting the need that they want or the things that they want or the help that they want. And therefore, they have found no solution, no help, no hope, no relief to whatever that situation, circumstance, problem, issue that has arisen in their life. And it is curtailed by a tornado of events. And I say tornado because tornadoes tear up things, and it's just a path of destruction. And that's the mindset, that there has just been a tornado of events, if you'll allow me to say it that way, that has caused them to feel like they've been in this mode of destruction or this mode of things not being in order. Everything is just topsy-turvy, torn up from the floor up. There is just, they don't see anything. There's no means to the end of the stress that has been in their life, and it is just overlapping, and there is no relief. Sometimes when the enemy comes, sometimes he comes in like a flood. So if you think of a flood and think of it in terms of a hurricane, if you will, it's just boiling over, running over with events, one on top of another, and they have no relief in sight. They have not had that moment of breathing where things are just quiet and calm in their life. And I think that's what this really means. Sad life, meaning that they're just, you know, this continuous road of things that are not going the way that they need for it to go. Or, and I say this as well, it also could be that this person has had things that were hidden in their life that they have not talked about or revealed, and they are still dealing with the residue because they have not been uncaged. They haven't been, those chains haven't been broken. And so, therefore, as time goes on, they're still dealing not only with the, quote-unquote, the secret that they're carrying, but then life has just piled dirt on top of that. So, therefore, they have the weight of the world on their shoulders, and they feel like they're in a vacuum, and there is no one who sees them. They've become invisible. There's no one that they can talk to, or they feel like you should be able to discern the feeling, because out of their mouth they may say, I'm doing great, because you've asked the question, how are you doing today? And you say, or they say out of habit, I'm fine, and how are you? Well, I can talk about me. I'm going to talk about me because I can do that and very well. I would get angry because I felt like if you asked me how was I doing and I said fine, I felt that you should be able to discern that that was not necessarily true. I am giving you what you expect for me to say as a response. But that really on the inside, I'm really crying for help. I'm tore up from the floor. My heart is broke. It's just, you know, I'm wounded. I'm just barely hanging on. And so that's why we need to be discerning, know and be aware of those that are around us. And I really had, I don't know how I got over there, but I'm going to get back to where I'm supposed to be in just a minute. But I just wanted to put that out there in perspective. That's why, again, I'm saying discerning of the feelings. We just need to be aware and be prayed up. And even in our profession, if we, you know, in our professional field, we just need to be aware of those that are around us. And again, you still have to be discerning of people and just know, something just seems a little bit off, especially if you have established a rapport with this person. Now, let me go back to where I'm supposed to be. Let's see here. I got 9 minutes left. Okay. I'm trying to decide, do I want to do that or do I want to take this 9 minutes and just see if folks have questions? I think I'll do that, and then I can pick up because I'm not in a rush. And we're going to take our time with this because this is a needed conversation. I've talked about it, but we haven't like really gone into a serious mode concerning this. So I definitely want to hear what you have to say. If you have anything to add, I don't have all the answers. I never claimed to have all the answers, but I definitely wanted to give you something to start with. Okay. So at this time, I'll stop right there, and we can pick this up next week. We can pick this up next week. That is not a problem. So what am I doing here? Oh, okay. I'm a little bit off here because it's storming and I had a really hard time picking up a signal, so I've moved to a different location in the house and it's just throwing me off here. So I have a few people in my chat room and I wanted to open up the mics and just to see what people have to say. I see TLO Ministries, Empowerment Places in the chat room, and area code 336 is also in the studio. I'm going to open up Minister Howell's mic, and I just want to say welcome and thank you, Minister Howell, for joining me this evening. I enjoyed your show as well. I wanted to give you space to see if you had a comment, question, whatever you needed to say, or if you want to just address the listeners. And God bless you, woman of God.
Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Everything I heard was good. Glory to God. I just like to tell the radio audience to take heed to what has been said. Glory to God, because we have to know the ones that are labeled among us. You know, we should know them by their fruit. God don't want us to be deceiving. Yes, discernment of spirit is a very needed gift that we all need. Because, you know, the enemy, he comes in and disguises himself, you know. And we have to be so very careful because we're in the last days. Hallelujah. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the very elect will be fooled. But see, God said he's not mocked. You know what I'm saying? So just take heed to the word, stay in the word, believe God's word, and receive God's word. And when you do that, you won't go wrong. Hallelujah. Always keep the Lord on your mind and be focused on him. And whatever question you have or whatever answer you need, it's in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And we God for each and every one that's tuning in. I thank God for you, Evangelist Benton. Glory to God. You're doing a wonderful work. Glory to God.
God be the glory. To God be the glory. Amen. Thank you. You are absolutely right, woman God. And we definitely need to stay in the word and stay connected so we can be discerning. And when we do it, you know, the way the Bible tells us to do it. And I love what I love about God is he gave us instructions. He didn't leave us to our own selves to figure things out on our own. You know, he gave us instructions and he left it up to us to heed to the instructions that were given. But when we are obedient, then when we come into situations like this and we have the spirit of discernment, which is one of the gifts, if you will, then we're able to help others, because it is all about us, each one. I say this all the time, each one reach one, and it's about us helping each other, in the body, out the body, because, you know, as our light shine, then we draw others, you know, and people are drawn to us. And when they're drawn to us, then we need to make sure that we are equipped and ready for whatever it is that is in front of us, so that we can be a help to that individual. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Minister Howell.
You're welcome, woman of God.
Okay. Area code 336. Praise God, woman of God. How are you? Praise God, you're on the air. Minister Hall.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're on the air. This is, did you have a question or comment? What is, anything to share with the listening audience?
No, but not necessarily, but it was an awesome word, and I just agree with the previous person that was on the air that we ought to take heed to it, because in the time that we're in, I believe that one of the traps that the enemy will use against the body of Christ is despair and suicide. So it's a very timely word, particularly for the body of Christ, and especially for those outside of the body of Christ.
Yeah, indeed. And I'm grateful for you as well. And just I'm grateful for those that are truly connected to the vine, because when we as Ecclesiastes said, you know, there is a time and a place for everything under the sun. And when we operate in God's timing, things just flow so wonderfully. And I think it's just absolutely essential that we do that. Not sure if you, in particular, Minister Hall, but I not too long ago preached a message about Vineyard, and the title of the message was "Woe Unto You," you know, and it was about us being, you know, in the vineyard, and just, you know, and being obedient to what we're supposed to do as a body of believers, you know, being connected to the Lord, and what happens if we are disobedient, then we become disconnected. You know, our fruit becomes sour, you know, and even though we may look great on the outside, those grapes, I think I talked about grade A grapes, and I'm just trying to pull this off the top of my head, grade A grapes, we want grade A grapes. We want to make sure that which we plant, those things that we plant are good seeds, because we want our harvest to come up. So that we have a great harvest, that we have grade A grapes, and that which we plant, we reap. You know, but when we are not connected truly and our roots don't run deep, then our fruit don't come back so fruitful. And therefore, we are no longer able to divinely hear and see that which is needed in the kingdom. And so that's why this is necessary, because when we come up against people who are in despair, we need to have the right equipment and be ready to give that need. And if we think about it, I say this over and over again, being soldiers in the army of the Lord, then we need to know which tools to use for that appointed time, as we go back to Ecclesiastes. And when we do that, then we're able to be effective in the body of Christ, and therefore we not only draw the person, but we also are able to cause them to have, you know, to lead them to a life that is eternal in the Father. I think I got that out correctly. So I thank God for you, and I thank God for Empowerment Place being in the chat room, and thank God for you, woman of God, and thank God for Minister Howell for joining me, and those that are listening, because I know there are others that are listening, and just looking at the numbers, it sounds like this is truly a needed topic that needs to be brought to the surface, because remember, we like to uncover those things that are hidden, and suicide is a crisis in America. But it is one of those topics that no one wants to talk about. And so as we prepare, and we have now tools that we can use to help those who would contemplate, you know, taking their life, we now have equipment to at least get us started. And we will continue this conversation, and we will become even more equipped. Because as soldiers in the army of the Lord, sometimes we have to call for the special forces, you know, to come in and do a specialized work. And I feel like dealing with the topic of suicide, that is truly a specialized work. So therefore, we need specialized equipment that will work to counteract that which the enemy would try to do, because he does come to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's not coming to wound us. He comes to take us out. And we don't want, and we know, because we are connected to the vine, that we are victorious in him. Hallelujah. And because we are victorious in him, it doesn't matter what the odds look like. We walk in victory. And that's why we have victory against all odds. That just made me excited right there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mr. Howell, you got anything else to say? Your mic is still open. Minister Howell?
Yes, ma'am.
The mic is still open. You have anything else to say?
No, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank each and every one of you this evening. And next week, we're going to talk about obtaining the information about whatever that problem is. And so we're going to uncover dirt. And so I'm putting that out there, because this is going to be very interesting, and I'm very excited. And when we think about dirt, you know, we think about exactly what it is, dirt. So we're going to uncover the dirt and see what we find that is underneath the dirt. And when we talk about uncovering dirt, then we're talking about that which lies underneath, that which is hidden. And if we pull up the roots, you know, what roots are lying up underneath the dirt, so that we can get to the core of the matter. And then if we can get to the core of the matter, we can save a life. And that's what this is all about, giving you tools so that you can survive, so that you can be set free, so that you don't have to be chained, so that we don't have to no longer be caged, locked in your mind, and that we can dispel and annihilate and destroy and sever all that the enemy has put on us, calls us to walk in defeat, and we know that we are victorious in Christ Jesus, and we want people to live the life that was intended for them to live, and that is a life of full of joy and hope, and a life that is fulfilling, and not only that, a life that is victorious, victorious in Christ, and so that we can be productive citizens, not only on here on the earth, but in the kingdom. Hallelujah. And then when we are productive, then we know and we line ourselves up with what we're supposed to do. We know that we will spend our eternal life with the Father, and we don't have to die before our time or die prematurely because of all that which the enemy has vomited on top of us. Okay, I'm not going to preach. I thank each and every one of you again for listening. And like I said, next week we will talk about the dirt, and we're going to uncover what the dirt is. So we're going to talk about the risk factors and suicide, and we may get to clarifying what the problem is, and then we will be ready for step three. Okay, thank you again for listening. I'm going to close out with a powerful song, and each and every one of you, thank you again for joining me this evening. God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you. And until next week, know that you are victorious in Him, and no matter what the situation, no matter what the odds are, that we stand tall because we have victory. God bless you all.
God bless you.
Jesus,
sweet Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus,
how I love him, and oh yeah,
Jesus, His goodness and what He's done. When I think of His goodness and what He's done, look at Him. I gotta give Him glory. Come on, give Him glory. Hallelujah. Come on, give Him glory.
Great night, everyone. Thank you for listening. Until next time, until next week, God bless you. Good night.